97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. Kim on a whim.
Here's a headline that'll make you feel good this morning, Mark. It says, in Minnesota, nearly every Somali household with children is on welfare. More than 8 in 10 households headed by Somali refugees in the state of Minnesota are on one or more forms of American taxpayer-funded welfare.
We're going to start referring to Minneapolis as Snogadishu. What do you think?
Snogadishu?
Absolutely. Like Mogadishu, except they have a bunch of snow up there, and they've all moved to Minnesota.
That's why I couldn't live there.
Oh, my God.
Minneapolis is actually beautiful, but it's so cold in the winter. Anyway, this is data that was published by the Center for Immigration Studies. But the data was based on 10 years where they were showing the differences. And here's what they found. It says it shows drastic disparities between native-born American households and Somali-born households in Minnesota, where nearly 80,000 residents have Somali ancestry compared to zero who had Somali ancestry back in 1990.
Yep.
They are flocking there. And I mentioned more than eight in 10, but when you have children included, it jumps even more. And then it goes to 89% of Somali-headed households with children in Minnesota are on welfare. 86% on Medicaid, 62% of Somali households with children are on food stamps, 23% take cash welfare. Look, you and I believe, agree on this, where we're all about a leg up. Sometimes, you know, you fall on hard times.
Right.
You need that extra bit, the crutch to kind of get you back to where you are, jumpstart you. It's not set up to be a forever leg up. We're not just going to support you indefinitely on food stamps or whatever else. You have to be making an effort to better yourself, to get off. That's the way the system was initially designed. And the problem with it is that there's been a lack of, I guess, checks and balances, whatever you want to call it, where it's become that is someone's income. Not temporarily, more or less forever.
Oh, you got to get a check. Absolutely. And you know, that's not unique to... That is not unique to that community, I'll say.
Right.
There are plenty of people who are lower income across America whose primary goal growing up is to figure out how to get a check the way mom and dad do. We've caused this. We've created this monster where people grow up seeing what mom and dad do and decide that's what they're going to do. They just need to get on assistance of some sort, and then they'll just continue to subsist the way they do now.
But how many other countries would offer this much assistance? Because a lot of these people know if they can get to the United States, they can get on this assistance. And you would argue, well, of course, you'd have to be a U.S. citizen, right, in order to get it. But nowadays, you can get driver's license and you can vote and do all sorts of things without being a United States citizen. So I wouldn't put it past anybody for figuring out a way to get on the welfare system, even though you're not legally here in the United States.
Agree.
Listen, I think you played this clip, but I wanted to play again, Donald Trump talking about what's going on in Minnesota.
These are people that work. These are people that say, let's go. Come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell and they complain and do nothing but we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it.
Well, you know, if people want to come here, I feel the same way about people who were born in the United States and are blessed to be citizens, and they just complain about how terrible it is and how we're all racist.
It's defending the system.
Right. We need to just break down everything that we've ever done and the foundation of this country. You know what? Why don't you go over there? Enjoy. Have fun. Bon voyage.
To your point here about how bad it is, if you listen to the spin when this story first broke, and you listen to the spokespeople for Ilhan Omar, and they talk about all the contributions this community makes and why they're an asset to America, it's a lie. And it's a lie that was exposed by Joe Borelli, who's a Republican who is occasionally invited on CNN along with Scott Jennings. He talked about this earlier this week. Listen.
In the rush to defend sort of the Somalis in the wake of the scandal about the fraud, right? There were some people out there saying the Somalis contribute $67 million in taxes to the state of Minnesota, right? And you look at that in the big context, that basically averages, that actually averages, yeah, right. that actually averages out to about $1,000 in state and local taxes, which is an eighth of what Minnesotans pay. Minnesotans pay about $8,000 per person in taxes. Then you look at the social programs, right? 47% of the Somali people here in Minnesota were on some type of social welfare program.
Yeah, well,
but apparently it's a lot more. According to Breitbart, he said what, 47%?
He said 47% of adults.
This says about 81% of households.
Households.
So maybe that's the right. And then when you have children involved, they're saying 89%. That's huge. This is such a problem, and it's not just the Somali. You know, the Somali people. It's just people who are taking advantage of our system and creating all of these issues that we now are having to deal with.
We have adopted the problems of foreign countries. Mm-hmm. They starve. They are in forever poverty because they never produce anything. And then on subsistence, they overpopulate, and then they can't take care of the kids that are born. So the Somali problem is not that different from other immigration problems. Now, they come to this country and get a handout. There's no significant reason for them to improve. Some do. I'm sure there are exceptions to that rule. That's not 100% of people who are like that. But if the largest majority of that crowd is, what do you do about that? Remember when I remember going to New York City a few years ago and went out and visited Ellis Island and read the stories of how they used to process immigrants when they came to this country legally. And there was a question on there. Can you support yourself? And if not, are you here to live with a relative who can help you support yourself until you can get a job and get on your feet?
Because otherwise, you're a leech.
If your answer is no, go get back on the boat and we're shipping you back to wherever the hell you came from. When did that attitude change?
Mm-hmm. It's a mindset shift, though, in general. The culture in general doesn't want to work because they know they can get a handout. Even the system with families, like if you have a dad in the picture for a mom and her kids and they need assistance, their odds of getting help increase when the dad's no longer in the picture. So what is that? What does that then encourage? It encourages fatherless homes. Well, we know what that leads to, because when the father's not in the home, the kids are much more likely to be involved in violent activities. I mean, all sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen such evidence of this, and it becomes a gluttonous beast, which is why I play that bite all the time about, you know, government. But it's true. And these programs do exactly what the left in this country wants to do. It wants to get more and more people, completely reliant on the federal government. And then the minute you start to propose a modest scale back in the growth of a program, the Democrats will accuse you of starving people and ruining their lives and making old people eat dog food. And I mean, it's the same story from the same playbook every time. It doesn't matter who the group is. That's the argument the left uses to continue to try to grow the size of government. The numbers we told you earlier about the trade deficits going down and all of that, I don't know how we bring self-reliance back, but you've got to get people back in that mindset. And it's going to be a horrible cycle to break. It's going to be painful, is what it is. And the left knows that, and they've used it to their full advantage to brainwash these people. It's sad. It depresses me for what this country is going to look like 100 years from now, when my great grandchildren and great great grandchildren, God bless them, are trying to make their way through the world. They're going to have to deal with this horrible situation we've allowed to be developed in our country when it comes to these social programs. They're never going to get smaller.
There has to be a better system of checks and balances. That is the solution, where maybe this is already set in motion, but it's clearly not being enforced, where you have to have regular check-ins and you have to prove, not just with your words, actual documentation somehow, pay stubs, something where you can show that you are making an effort. Because that's part of the problem is, remember, where if you're on unemployment and you can show that you applied for a job.
Yeah, that was
then
enough.
Check. And that's what employers were saying, is how many people would apply for a job, they'd get offered an interview and they'd no show, or they'd accept the job and they would never show up, or maybe go one day and they're like, all right, I'm done, and just not even ever say anything like, hey, I'm done. So they were able to take advantage of the system by doing that, and that's the problem. You should have to sustain employment, and if you can't, that's on you. That is not the government's problem. That's not my problem as a taxpayer, that I have to then fund you. I'm sorry. I'll happily give you a leg up. I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to be successful. But if you're not willing to do it yourself, that's not on me.
We've tipped the balance in this country, unfortunately. I had a friend who worked in the hotel business. Doesn't anymore, got out of that business, but worked in the hotel business and related the story to me that he set a new record, that in 1 week he had 34 or 35 no-shows for job interviews.
Oh,
people that
gosh.
Had set up the job interview, all they wanted was the confirmation email. They forwarded that to the to Social Security or whoever was giving them their benefits, and that's all they needed to show that they were, or unemployment, to show that they were trying.
Then they just didn't show up because
they didn't want a job.
Does the system, is it just overwhelmed and they don't have the resources to go, I assume, and verify that every person's actually
working? Hell no, they
working.
Don't have the resources.
So I guess that's the problem too. Well, how do we fix that?
You change the requirements is what you change. Physically bring me a pay stub, and then I'll know you're employed.
But you have to do it multiple pay stubs.
I just want 2 weeks because anyone
can work 2 weeks.
Prove to me every 3 months that you've got continued
sustained
employment.
It, correct.
Yeah. All right. Good. That's a good one, Kim. We got to talk about this crazy situation with this football coach from Michigan. This thing has taken on a whole new angle this morning that I did not see coming at all. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Get more at 971talk.com.